Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. This is the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and I thought I would talk about three closely related themes in the Buddha's teachings, which bear some relevance to the holiday that just passed. The three are contentment, gratitude, and generosity. In some ways, the Thanksgiving season indicates some of the ways that particularly American culture has some strange ideas about these three concepts. A while back, one of the Ajahns said, I think it was either Ajahn Pasano or Ajahn Amaro, studying American history for his citizenship, was a bit surprised to learn that when the pilgrims celebrated the first Thanksgiving, they were grateful to the native peoples had helped them out, but they interpreted this as God's favor, sort of actually neglecting the natives a bit. And sadly, throughout much of American history, there's been a sense of sort of entitlement. There is a sense of gratitude, but I'm grateful because I'm getting what I deserve. And if I'm not getting what I deserve, then I'm grumpy. Not the most beautiful form of gratitude. And then the day after Thanksgiving is Black Friday, which, from what I hear, Black Friday is about discontent. Go shopping after Thanksgiving, and there is an element of generosity in that you're often shopping for Christmas gifts for your family, and I guess there's a lot of sales. It's been a long time since I really got anywhere close to a shopping mall. And everyone here, I think, is some form. You come to a Buddhist monastery to take some refuge from some of the confusing ideas of our culture. And just all the pain and wasted energy that come from those. Where do these qualities come up in the Buddha's teachings? Well, all three are mentioned in the Mangala Sutta, which I spoke about a week ago. I think generosity comes up in in our chanting book translation, generosity and a righteous life, offering help to relatives and kin. And then several verses later is respectfulness and of humble ways, contentment and gratitude. And the three concepts in Pali are generosity is dana, contentment is santuti, and gratitude is katanyu. All three are mentioned as elements of the highest blessings. I remember quite distinctly about 2 years ago, I think it was Ajahn Pasano's birthday. In July. And for Ajahn Pasano's birthday, a lot of people come, and Ajahn Pasano prepares CDs or new Dhamma books in both Thai and English, and he puts together two or three of these and then hands them out, two or three Dhamma books or CDs to each person. And it's a joyous occasion. Everyone is receiving Dhamma from our esteemed teacher. And I remember him, smiling and just reflecting. Reflecting on how happy and content he is. And just, this is the result of living a life founded on generosity and gratitude, was his reflection. And when you look, Ajahn Pasano, that is really true of Ajahn Pasano's life. He's not, and it was just a simple statement. It wasn't, this is the karmic result. In about 3 days, Ajahn Pasano will leave for his annual December trip to Thailand. And it's a bit longer this time. And Ajahn Pasano is very, very popular in Thailand. And, in some ways he did so much good there that he had to run away to find some peace and quiet because people love him so much. And, this year I've been a bit of his secretary, putting together an online calendar of his travels. And it's all there. You can, anywhere between December 2nd and January 18th or so, you can find out where Ajahn Pasano is in Thailand and go see him. It's not, and with the extra weeks, I thought, maybe he'd want to lie low, go someplace where people couldn't find him. But that wasn't his attitude. He's around. Just change the schedule, keep it public. And that sense of generosity, making himself available because people want to. And it's been probably four requests now have come in just over the past 10 days for Lumbur Pasano's schedule in Thailand. Another lesson I remember very clearly about generosity that I learned a couple years before I came to the monastery was, I just discovered that, yeah, I had enough. I was a graduate student in Berkeley. I had a place to live. I had enough, you know, enough food. I didn't cook at that, yeah, didn't cook so much, but I didn't need to. And I found, yeah, the way I can gain the most happiness, you know, with money, is to give it away. And I, you know, I just tested it, and it, yeah, really worked. It's pretty amazing. And so when I wanted inspiration, I would open up my, you know, I'd open up Quicken and just look, oh, wow, well, I was, yeah. The way I spend my money reflects the priorities of my heart. Wow. That's cool. And that was quite powerful. And there, that sense of generosity and contentment are linked, because if you're always, yeah, if the way to feel like you have enough is to be giving things away. You know, oh right, well I could keep this for myself, but I have enough. I can give this away. And there is contentment right there. It's not the case that you find contentment by getting more stuff. Contentment is an inner quality, and no matter, the Buddha said that, yeah, two whole mountains of gold the size of the Himalayas would not be enough for one person's greed. Yeah, there's no limit. There's no limit to it, because greed is not about, greed is an internal attitude, not about getting stuff, but about a hunger which stuff can never fill. I remember Hung Shur wrote a song which conveys a similar insight. Very simple verses, and because I'm a Theravadin monk, I won't sing them. I have enough. I am grateful. Share the blessings. Hallelujah. May all be fed. May all beings flourish. May all awaken. Bodhisvaha. Where's Hung Shur's composition? Connecting the two. And in particular then, yeah, that sense of gratitude comes in both, yeah, recognizing gratitude for having enough, gratitude for the teachings, and which, yeah, most of us really don't have the wisdom that it takes to figure these things out on our own. They need to be pointed out. We can test them, and oh yeah, this works. It's great. But left to our own devices, we'd probably just follow the somewhat misguided route of our culture. So having these teachings is a tremendous gift. And just one more thing that brought this to mind today was that this morning a monastery supporter remembered my birthday, but she wasn't, which is sometime around now, but she wasn't going to be able to come to the monastery, and so she sent this e-card from St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, which indicated that, yeah, she'd made a donation to the hospital in honor of Kachana Bhikkhu. And I was really touched, because again, that's a beautiful thing to do, because yeah, I certainly have enough myself, but yeah, it's touching to see other people's generosity and, you know, giving to people who are in need. And all three of these qualities bring just a genuine, sustainable happiness to the mind. Like so many of the Buddha's teachings, you can, you know, generosity, contentment, and gratitude function at many levels. And the ones that I've been presenting so far are the more, yeah, the more ordinary ones. But these qualities, when practiced and refined, can begin to move towards, yeah, move towards insight, move towards freedom and release. So in regards to contentment, one of the teachings of the Buddha is about the noble lineages. And three of the four noble lineages concern contentment. This, for as background, the monks and nuns have four requisites. We have our robes, we have alms food, we have shelter, and we have medicine. That comprises our physical needs. And when things are simple, sometimes, yeah, well, there's greed gets pretty focused. Having nice robes or yummy food or the best dwelling. But this noble lineage, the statements about the noble lineage are one standing in this noble lineage does not do, and I'll use, say, alms food, one does not do anything improper in order to obtain alms food. If one doesn't obtain alms food, then one is not disturbed. If one does obtain alms food, one uses it, recognizing the drawbacks, being aware of the dangers of it. So using it in moderation. And one is content with whatever kind of alms food one happens to get. But because of this contentment, one neither exalts oneself or disparages others who perhaps are still hankering after fine alms food. So one who has these characteristics in regards to robes, alms food, and lodgings. And the fourth one is surprisingly not medicine, but it's delighting in abandoning unwholesome states and delighting in cultivating wholesome states. So one who is well established in regards to all of these four is said to be standing in a noble lineage. And then in regards to generosity, Dana is the word used for generosity in the Mangala Sutta, and that's the kind of giving that I've been talking about so far. But there's another word in Pali for generosity, and that is chaga. But chaga also has a sense of, chaga also means giving up. So, renunciation. Yeah, one monk who has spent time here at the Pacific Hermitage and at, I think he's now at Temple Forest Monastery. It's named Ajahn Chaganando. So, yeah, delight in generosity, delight in giving up. And that's a beautiful name. And this giving up, relinquishment, yeah, it goes all the way from giving up minor sense pleasures that simply distract the mind, giving up attachments to opinions, giving up preferences about who we would like to be with and who we would not like to be with, giving up preferences about what kind of work we'd like to do, where we'd like to live, giving up the stories we tell about ourselves and about other people. All the way to giving up craving for being itself. It goes, it's a whole spectrum. And Chan Cha would say, has widely quoted, let go a little and you'll get a little peace. Let go a lot and you'll experience a lot of peace. Let go completely and you will experience complete peace. And this word chaga comes up in the Dhammacakka Sutta in a string of qualities which describes the third noble truth, the cessation of suffering. Chago patinissago mutti analio. Giving up, relinquishment, freedom, non-attachment. That's where freedom and peace lie. And then finally, gratitude becomes ever stronger. The greater the fruit one experiences from the teachings, the more grateful one is to those who have taught us. There are verses, the Tathagata and the Tarigata, the verses of the elder monks and nuns, and these are the heartfelt expressions of the Buddha's early disciples. And many of them express deep gratitude towards the Buddha for the gift of the teachings. And just for me, one reflection on the profundity of this is, I think the Buddha describes the three kinds of miracles. The first kind is the miracle of being able to read the thoughts of others. The second kind is the miracle of all sorts of myriad psychic powers. And the third kind is the miracle of instruction. The first two are straightforward. The third requires a bit of unpacking. The teachings of the Buddha point to an unconditioned reality. And what the Buddha experientially discovered was, one, possible to contact that, and two, he could tell other people how to repeat, how to make contact with that themselves. And why this is a miracle is because the only means the Buddha or anyone has to communicate is conditioned words, or, you know, gestures, tones of voice. You know, it's just the six sense bases, which are all totally conditioned. And yet this can point to the unconditioned. I mean, it's not at all obvious why that should be the case, and I'm certainly not going to try to explain. But instead, this is something to be treated with gratitude and awe. This is possible. So yeah, perhaps the greatest gratitude in the world is that an awakened being feels for his or her teachers. So I'll close there for the night. Sa.